Friends, please pray with me. Holy One and Father, you love with a father's zeal and a mother's tenderness. Move now in our hearts. Breathe through the holy words that we will hear today, the songs we share, and the burdens that we carry, until we discover our purpose in your freeing love and truth. For we long to join creation's praise and shine with the mercy of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. For the time is near. These, my friends, are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. Say the word apocalypse out loud and watch what happens on people's faces. They think of mushroom clouds and burning cities, of catastrophe and collapse, the end of everything. To most, the word apocalyptic means the worst thing imaginable. So it comes as a genuine surprise to learn that the Greek word behind our English title of the book of Revelation, apocalypsis, does not mean destruction at all. It means the unveiling. It means revealing. It is the word you would use to pull a cloth off a statue or draw back a curtain so that the light pours in. The last book of the Holy Bible is not called the catastrophe. It's called the unveiling, the revelation. And the very first words tells you what is being unveiled. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This book exists to pull back the curtain on the risen Lord and on God's plan for all of history. Yet, tragically, for many believers, the book of Revelation has become the most sealed book in the whole Bible. A locked room full of dragons, beasts, horsemen, of plagues and mysterious numbers. People are frightened of it. They avoid it. Or worse, they treat it like a puzzle box to be pried open with the evening news in one hand. This morning, I want to hand you the key, not to a code, but to a book that God gave us to study our hearts. Here, is how not, my friends, to read this book. Someone once described a certain kind of Bible teacher as reading Revelation with one eye on the sacred page and the other on the headlines, which in all actuality would make a person go comically cross-eyed. Now, I do laugh at that, but the Antichrist, they will tell you it is whatever menacing figure happens to be on the evening news that year. Was it Hitler? Mussolini? Stalin? Marx? Is it the Pope? Was it Kennedy? Reagan? Obama? Is it Trump? They have all, at one time or another, been called the Antichrist. And many more people throughout history have wrongly been called the Antichrist. Friends, there have been so many bad predictions from depraved teachers, pastors, and false prophets who were, and are even today, so very wrong. Often, such people are deceptively trying to excite people and tickle itching ears. Are we in the last days? Well, according to the news, there is a war in the Middle East, and Babylon was in the Middle East. So surely the end is near. Except when you scratch the surface of the history of the Middle East, even just a little bit, you find it has been at war pretty much constantly for 2,000 years, and for much longer than that. Many of those wars have been major conflicts in the same areas described in the book of Revelation, involving the same people groups described in the book of Revelation. So what makes this war any different, other than escalation and the weapons of war, which has always been the case? People have been doing this for a very long time because they know it excites people. It makes people feel like their time is more significant than some other time. And people like that. What else has been in the news? In the 14th century, the Black Death swept through Europe, carrying off a third of the population in a matter of years. And multitudes were certain that this was the plague of Revelation and that the end had come. In 1918, another plague came, the Spanish flu. Over 50 million people died because of it, and many pastors, teachers, and false prophets wrongly said it was the fulfillment of Revelation and the beginning of the end. Most recently, damaging pastors, teachers, and false prophets were engaging in a similar kind of deceitful behavior regarding the coronavirus, saying it's the end. And this misinterpretation of the book of Revelation occurred well before the Black Death, and sadly, it even continues still today. In every single age since Christ, someone has been wrongly convinced that their headlines were the fulfillment of this book. And we need to admit that there is something almost comical about that track record. For as long as I can remember, people have been dead certain they knew the identity of the Antichrist. And it was always whoever happened to be on the evening news that year. I once had a relative who, over about 10 years, confidently identified 6 different antichrists. I finally had to break it to him that, at the rate that he was going, the office of antichrist apparently had term limits. We may laugh at that, But there is a serious warning beneath the surface of all this. Date setting, headline hunting, and timeline mapping all share one thing in common: a perfect record of being wrong every time for 2,000 years. And that method does not merely fail, it robs people of the Christian faith. And it robs this book of the very comfort God intended it to give. If you read Revelation, you will find that its heartbeat, its single dominant theme is this: Jesus Christ is coming soon. Not only that, he is coming again soon. John says he is about to show us what must soon take place. Revelation 1:1. In verse 3, he says, "The time is near." And at the very end of the book of Revelation, the Lord himself says it. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.'" Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Revelation 22:20. Now, that raises an honest and difficult question, and I am not going to dodge it. The book of Revelation was written nearly 2,000 years ago, and yet the book of Revelation insists that these things in the book are about to happen soon, and that the time is near. And yet, 2,000 years later, here we still are. Was John mistaken? Was Jesus mistaken? Did the early church believe that Jesus would return far sooner? Skeptics have pressed exactly this point, and more than a few believers have quietly lost their faith over it. I promise you, we will face that very question head on in the sermons to come. And I promise you, the answer is not that John was wrong. The answer is that many people have been reading this book the wrong way. Currently, a very popular way, but a wrong way. So, let me reveal to you the right way. The way the faithful, historical, traditional church have primarily understood the book of Revelation. First, let me give you the book's shape so that you know what we are talking about. In chapter 1, the risen Christ appears to John and tells him to write 7 letters to 7 churches. Churches that represent the whole church in every single age. And in those letters, he calls his people to repentance. Chapters 2 and 3 present the letters. And chapters 4 and 5, John is caught up into heaven where he sees a scroll sealed with 7 seals. No one is worthy to open that. And so he weeps until the Lamb who was slain appears, the crucified and risen Jesus, and he alone is worthy. In chapter 6, the seals are opened, unleashing wars and plagues and disasters on the earth. In chapter 7, the saints are sealed and protected. Then the 7th seal opens on 2 7 trumpets, and the trumpets sound, bringing plagues and judgments. We then meet a woman clothed with the sun, a dragon whom John clearly identifies as the devil, and the beast from the sea and the land. Then a third series, 7 bowls of wrath poured out. And finally, the whole book climaxes in the coming of Christ and the vision of the New Jerusalem. coming down to earth. Now, here is the first thing that you notice in all of this, and it unlocks so much. The book of Revelation keeps repeating itself. Seven seals, then seven trumpets, then seven bowls. And they all pour out strikingly similar judgments. What do we learn from that? We learn that the book of Revelation is not meant to be read in a chronological blow-by-blow countdown to the end. Like a military timeline where event one leads to event two, which leads to event three. Much of what happens in the first half of the book of Revelation occurs again in the second half of the book of Revelation. Friends, the book of Revelation is a prophetic vision. And if you know your Old Testament, if you know the book of Daniel, this will not surprise you at all. Daniel sees the rise of four kingdoms, first as a great statue, then as four beasts, and then later as other images in other chapters. Daniel is not describing four different sets of events. He is describing the same reality again and again from different angles. That is often how the Old Testament prophets saw things and how they wrote them down. Another Old Testament prophetic example of this is Joseph, who had and interpreted prophetic dreams. Joseph's journey begins with two dreams in which he sees himself as a ruler. First, symbolized by sleeves of wheat, and then in a second vision, by celestial bodies bowing down to him. These two prophetic visions speak to the same one reality. A similar thing happens when Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dreams or prophetic visions. Pharaoh has two sets of dreams. First, he sees seven fat cows devoured by seven thin, sickly cows. Then, in a second prophetic dream, seven healthy ears of grain are consumed by seven withered, thin ears. These two prophetic visions or dreams point to the one same reality. And John's visions in the book of Revelation do the same thing. Like Daniel's, Joseph's, and those of other Old Testament prophets in our Bible, they are not a stopwatch at the end of the world. They are a look behind the scenes of all of history and reality. The same drama told in overlapping cycles. The repetitive seals, trumpets, and bowls that point to the one same reality in history, so that the one truth sinks deep. Let me tell you a true story that stands as a monument to what happens when we get this wrong. In the 1840s, a sincere and devout American named William Miller became convinced that by carefully calculating the numbers in the book of Revelation, Daniel, and Genesis, he had cracked the code, and that Christ would return on October 22nd, 1844. Tens of thousands believed in him. They called themselves the Adventists, the Seventh-day Adventists. People sold their farms, gave away their possessions, settled their debts, and on that October day, gathered on hillsides in their best clothes to wait for the Lord to split the sky. The sun set. It rose again on October 23rd, exactly how it had always had. They called it the Great Disappointment. And it broke thousands of hearts and shipwrecked much faith. This is just one example among thousands who have tried to map out and create timelines of the book of Revelation, claiming they have figured out things and the hour of Christ's coming. But they have all been greatly mistaken in their mapping, their outlines, and their predictions. There are people who continue to do similar things today, and there will be others in our future who, sadly, will try to do the same, inevitably leading people into a crisis of faith. It's horrible. Friends, I want to be very clear about this. If a so-called prophet has been wrong about even one single prophecy, Holy Scripture tells us they are no prophet and that we are not to listen to them, as exciting as they may be. And the Holy Bible makes no room for what people today call practicing prophecy. According to the Holy Bible, you are either a prophet or you are not. No true prophet of God has a wrong prophecy. There is real evil and great sin behind false teachers, pastors, and prophets. Don't follow or listen to them. As interesting as they may sound, they are just tickling itching ears and leading people astray. Hear me carefully, my friends. The Adventist problem was not loving the coming of Jesus too much. Would to God we all longed for it more. Their problem was that they read the book of Revelation and other prophetic books in a way that they were never meant to be read. As a calculation problem, a cipher to be solved with a newspaper and a pencil. Read that way, the book of Revelation will disappoint and frighten you. But read the book of Revelation as God meant it, as the unveiling of Jesus Christ. It becomes what it truly is. One of the most pastoral, most comforting books in the Holy Bible, written to persecuted Christians to assure them that the Lamb is on the throne, that history is in his pierced hands, and that he is coming soon. There are two ways that we can be deeply changed by knowing these truths. First, close the newspaper, turn off the TV and televangelists, shut down the YouTuber that says whatever they can to incite people and get more clicks, and instead, open the rest of your Holy Bible. Refuse the endless game of matching prophecy to headlines. It has failed every false pastor and teacher of doom for 2,000 years, and it will steal your peace. Instead of asking, who is the Antichrist this week? Ask, where is Jesus on this page? Read Revelation as it was given, as an unveiling of Christ, and let that calm you rather than agitate you. Second, let the book do to your heart what its title promises. When the world feels like it is just coming apart, when the headlines are grim and your life feels chaotic, go to the book of Revelation not to decode the chaos, but to see the Lamb. See him standing, slain and alive, holding the keys, seated on the throne, and coming soon. Let that vision steady you when everything else is shaking in your life. So what is the book of Revelation? It is not the catastrophe. It is the unveiling. God drawing back the curtain to reveal his Son. Its heartbeat is a single thrilling announcement. Jesus is coming soon. The book of Revelation's structure is not a countdown, but overlapping cycles within one great cycle, a look behind the scenes of history and reality. And much of this we will unpack further in our future sermons of the book of Revelation. But the method that has failed every generation, cracking the code with the evening news, is not the way in. The way in is to look for Christ on every single page. Do that, and the most feared book of the Holy Bible becomes the most comforting. Because on every page you find the Lamb who was slain, alive forevermore, holding the keys of death and hell, saying, "Surely I am coming soon." And with the whole church in every age, we answer correctly, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray with me. Lord God, I want to thank you that you reveal to us all that you want to reveal to us. Your holy word is a blessing to our lives. And Lord, we thank you that by your holy word, by the Holy Spirit, and by your faithful church, you guide your people into all truth. God, I ask that you would bless us all. I ask, O Lord, that you would reveal yourself to our lives. In many ways, Lord, we are looking for hope. And the reason why we look for hope is because the world that we live in is shattered. Even though it has glimpses of your glory, and we have times of joy and peace, Lord, there is a real struggle that we go through. And so we look for your coming. We look for things to be restored. We look, O Lord, for heaven to come down to earth. And so, Lord, I ask that you would calm our hearts, that you would give us everything that we need. And that, Lord, because we can have confidence in what you have done, what you are doing, and what you have yet to do, Lord, I ask that we, as your people, would be able to steady other people's hearts, to show them that you are Lord, to point to them your graces and your glory, to beckon them to yourself. Because, Lord, it is only in you, by your name, by belief in you, that anyone is saved. And so, Lord, bring many to you and help us, O Lord, to be involved in that work. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your holy word. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.